Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, February 22nd. I am your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today is going to inform, inspire, and encourage you, as always, because in a moment we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Stay Happy in Seemingly Uncertain Times. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have many other choices of things to do with your time, and I'm glad that we made the mix, we made the cut. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, press 1 to let me know you have a question or comment. If you're on the web chat, you just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. But if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything, because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. I want to take a moment to say hi to my guest, who I think is on the line. Hi there, Sonia.
Hi, how
are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. How are you today?
Oh, great. I am great today, and in a few moments we're going to begin. First, I want to tell the listeners about a little bit about me and about the whole Color Your Life Happy program. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant, and I'm also a mom of four adults, that is, and a grandma of three. I recently retired from 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, so I have been in the trenches, so I have a lot of experience. Now, if you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. Over there, you will be able to invest in yourself by taking advantage of a complimentary coaching session, which I call Jumpstart Your 2010 Goals. It's not too late to get those goals rolling. Go over there, coloryourlifehappy.com, and all you need to do is click on the tab that says Get a Coach Now. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness that you deserve in all areas of your life. Now, I realize it's tough for some people to realize they deserve happiness, but it is very true that you do. Now, each week, I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, all those things that go to make up our happiness. Now, today, my guest is Sonia Jackson, an actress, and a playwright. I'm so glad to welcome you, Sonia. And I want to tell the listeners a little bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
By all means.
Okay. And if I'm wrong, then you can just jump in and tell me. But I went on the internet. I found out a lot about you over there. Sonia Jackson is an actress and playwright. She received an NAACP Theater Award nomination for I'm Gonna Fly. This is a solo show based on the life of Bessie Coleman, America's first licensed black aviatrix. Sonia has appeared in plays including The Man Who Came to Dinner and The Blacks. Those are just a few because I want to get to her film credits, some of my favorite films. Her film credits include Jurassic Park 3, Speed, Downtown, and many more. Now, among her TV credits, some of my favorite shows are in here too, Sonia. Criminal Minds, Grey's Anatomy, Cold Case, 6 Feet Under, and more. So she certainly had a lot of experience, and she has performed, in addition to acting, she's done stand-up, which to me is a tough kind of performance. She's done stand-up at the Ice House, and she was trained at the London Shakespeare Studio and with the Groundlings and Second City. Her play, Conversations About the Girls, illuminates and entertains, but it focuses on women's breasts in their many roles, from nurturing and care to mating to the challenge of surviving cancer. Welcome so much, Sonia, to my show.
It's good to be here.
Great. I have a bunch of questions to ask, but I'm going to start with the most obvious one, and that is, what does it mean to be happy? Because that's what I get asked a lot. And so how do you define happiness?
Well, you know, I always like to start with the basics. So if we look at the definition of happiness, they, if you look it up, it says it's a feeling or showing pleasure, contentment, or joy. And so what I look at it as, it's actually a state of being, and it's a state of mind. So therefore, it starts with us. It's not, it's, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, she makes me happy or he makes me happy. What it is really when we're referring to something like that, we're referring to our reaction from some outside source.
Okay.
So happiness really starts within ourselves. Now, granted, I admit that people will do things and then we experience unhappiness from it, or we'll be angry about something that someone did, but it really is our own personal experience.
Okay, how we react to or accept or respond to the outside stimulus, in other words.
Exactly.
So in other words,
so,
things are neutral, neither good nor bad. It's how we react to them that makes the difference.
Exactly. For instance, you know, you can watch a reaction in a parking lot, for instance. You know, nobody likes to get tickets, but I had an opportunity to watch someone, watch actually a couple of people, because they both got tickets in the same parking lot, same time, same things were happening. The sun was shining, the clouds were overhead, fluffy and white, and one person got a ticket and stood there and cursed and kicked the ground and fussed and mussed, and the other person got a ticket. Oh, shoot. Oh, well, and put it in their car and got in and drove off. So their reactions, they got the same outside stimuli. They got a ticket,
but
the reactions were both different.
Yes.
So, and what I want to say about that, what it goes to the next thing is, it's always going to be our reaction to something. So even when I talk about, you know, the seeming uncertain times, it's always going to be our reaction. You know, it's, and I say seeming because this particular situation that we're in, of the economic, what it appears to be as like an economic downturn, and I'm not saying that there isn't, because definitely the individuals are having problems with making payments on things, and people are losing properties, and all of those kinds of things that are going on. There are things that are happening. But what I'm referring to as uncertain is technically it's always an uncertain time, because we never really know what's
going on. That's true. Our lives are uncertain day by day. We don't know what's coming up next. And
so someone will,
it's unfortunate. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, someone will say that, you know, but everything was going really well before this whole thing fell apart. The mortgage industry made their changes and whatnot. But, if you know, there were people who 3 years ago or 4 years ago, somebody lost their job, and for them it was an uncertain time.
Certainly.
Right now, there are some people who, you know, they're not having any issues in their life. They're not, you know, they made great decisions about mortgages if they did, or they are, you know, their work is still going. Some people are thriving. It's like when we had the Great Depression in the 20s, the most millionaires per capita were created at that point in time.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because I was having this conversation this weekend with some people, and that is that no matter what the times are, there are some people who thrive during those times. For example, we think of war as this horrible thing. Certainly we don't want war, and we don't certainly don't want our children and loved ones to go to war. But there are industries, there are professionals who thrive during the war because they are the ones who produce the equipment, the services, the things that enable war to be carried out. So for them,
exactly,
this is a financially great time. And so for almost, and not only that, one of the things that happens during these, what we call uncertain times, is it causes people to rethink their careers, and many times new careers emerge that you didn't even know you were going to need, that was going to happen because of the times. And a matter of fact, this morning I was having breakfast with a couple of friends, and they pointed out that we now have specialist consultants who work with celebrities who have had their lives turned upside down by their infidelity and so forth. They're consultants who work with them in terms of helping to repair their images. And I'm certain that this is a relatively new career, you know, within the last century, last 50 years, of this image consultant. I don't know if that's what they're called, but you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So whatever, yeah. So it, for them, it's been a great thing because now they have plenty of work, that's for sure.
True. What we're talking about in terms of being happy in seeming uncertain certain times. So something happens and we respond. And I know everybody has probably heard something about the law of attraction at this point. And this is where a lot of this comes into play. So mm-hmm. how we react, what our thoughts are, and what we're focused on, that is what we then attract to us. So mm-hmm. the first example, the young man who's kicking and screaming at the ticket and kicking the ground and all pissed off and all and his anger is up, then mm-hmm. he will go through the rest of his day, and the things that he would see are things of an angry nature or things that were going wrong or still going wrong. Whereas mm-hmm. someone else will, the other person who just kind of took it in stride, okay, I got a ticket, don't want it, but I'm not going to leave my focus on it. I'm not going to live in, oh, I got a ticket and oh, how horrible it is, mm-hmm. will be able to continue their day and see good things, mm-hmm. and or they'll be able to have a more enriched experience of the day and a happier mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm.
So attraction basically says that what is likened to itself is drawn. So it's the whole birds of a feather flock together kind of a thing. So if mm-hmm. you're thinking thoughts, whatever the thoughts that are that you're thinking, that's what you're going to attract to yourself, however it shows up. And it may not show up exactly as you're thinking it. It may. Mm-hmm. But whatever mm-hmm. you're thinking about is going to show up. So if you're thinking about how wonderful it is to have blue skies and be happy, and then those are the kinds of things that you're going to draw to yourself. If you're thinking about, oh, I'm angry about this person or angry about this particular situation, and you continue to think that, then you're going to attract to yourself more angry situations. So it doesn't matter what you're thinking about. It's the subject of what you're thinking about that you attract. So it may even mm-hmm. be fear. If you're thinking about fearful things, you're just going to attract more fearful things. So no matter mm-hmm. how, whatever it is you're thinking about, it shows up that way. So mm-hmm. that's where, you know, the basics are found in that area. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, and it gets back to it ties in also with what you said before, and that is the things that happen to us outside of us, the external things, are actually neutral, and it's our reaction that matters. And this is a tough concept for some people to get because we have been so programmed and raised to believe that we should react a certain way. And it can work both ways. I mean, someone can compliment you, and you can choose to be flattered by that, or you can choose to just say thank you and not be flattered or take it one way or the other. And vice versa, someone can come up and curse you or criticize you, and you can choose to just acknowledge that's their opinion and not be flustered one way or the other. So it works in both situations, whether it's a positive thing or a negative. It's all about how we choose to react. And I think if people can keep in mind or get in mind the idea that they choose, that idea of choice, is critical to this conversation. Just because it's a habit that we've been grown up, you know, we've been programmed to have a programmed reaction, doesn't mean we can't choose to react a different way. Don't you agree?
I agree with that. And here's a great example. When we were kids, when we all got ready to go to school, generally speaking, in the fifth grade, or not fifth grade, I mean at 5 years old to go to kindergarten, we looked forward to kindergarten. And we looked forward to going to school. And mom and dad always said, oh, it's going to be so much fun. You're going to learn so much. And they talked to us in that manner pretty much most of the time, I would venture to say. Most people didn't said to their five-year-old that, oh, you're going to really hate going to school. You really don't want to. That's not something you want to do. So, what we did was we looked forward to something. It was an adventure, something that was unknown, something that we didn't know was going to happen. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. Things. It was an adventure, and we were excited about it. And so I suggest that we need to do the same kinds of things in other areas of our life as well. Because
it's
actually
interesting because how we start off our day, even in terms of expecting it to be a good day, is what you're talking about, that anticipation of good. It doesn't mean we can control what's going to happen to throughout that day, but we're talking about our own anticipation, our own personal anticipation.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I would suggest people do, because then with all of that, you kind of go, well, so what do I do? How do I do this? How do I have a good day? How do I change what I'm feeling at the moment and become happy? And that is something that is, it takes work to do. It takes a little focus, but it is possible for everyone to do, and it's really not that difficult of a thing to do. So let's example. If you were, let's go back to the ticket.
Okay.
If you catch yourself, you know, what you have to do is kind of be aware of the feelings that you're having. And you want to be aware that, oh my gosh, I'm so angry about this. And when you can catch yourself that, oh, I'm angry about this, it doesn't mean that you want to discount the anger because it's a real emotion and you're there. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to live there. What happens to us, what happens is we will have a situation like getting the ticket, and then we will go and we'll be angry about it, and then we'll go and your friend will say, oh, how are you today? And you go, oh, I was good until I got this ticket. And then you spend 5 minutes reliving something that actually only took place for 10 seconds. You spend 5 minutes living it, so then you get angry all over again. You get your blood pressure up. You get those chemicals releasing in your body that aren't the pleasant ones, and you relive it. And then your friend, and then you go to another place, and another friend asks you about it, and then you say the same thing. Then by the next time, it's not just 5 minutes that you're explaining about getting this ticket. It's all the things that led up to it, and then you start to find, and then after these other things happen to me too. And so you've spent another 10 minutes talking about it, and mm-hmm. you add that to the 5 minutes you spent to your friend. Then you get home and you tell your loved one, or you tell someone else. So it goes on and on. And then you get ready to pay the ticket and you pull out your checkbook and you complain about that. And I don't have this and I don't have that. And then so it escalates, in other words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it becomes our story. I was reading where someone was talking about when you want to change your life, change your story. And we all love to tell stories about our lives, and some of us like to try to outdo the other person with a horror story. You know, the person talks about, like this example, the ticket, and some people feel this need to compete and say, well, that's nothing like what happened to me, and then they proceed to tell their story and dramatize it, and it becomes so much bigger in the retelling than the original
right.
incident. Don't you agree? It becomes bigger because we get very dramatic and we invest a lot of energy. And none of that serves us because the ticket still needs to be paid. And in fact, you just touched on something about what it does to you physically. Repeat that, what you said about what happens to us physically when we're reliving this horrible situation.
You know, it's your feelings, you're feeling upset, you're feeling angry, your stomach gets twisted, you're releasing all sorts of chemicals in your own body that are mm-hmm. just not serving your highest good. And so mm-hmm. instead, the way to do it could be to you catch yourself. Okay, maybe you didn't have that, you hadn't come to the point where you could see the ticket and kind of go, oh shoot, oh well, I got a ticket, I'm going to have to pay it. So now you are angry. But you catch yourself and you've made a decision for yourself. There's the whole thing of setting an intention to, I'm going to live a happier life. I'm going to live a happier life. And it really would start with just a simple statement like that. Today, when you get up, I'm going to be happier all day long. That's what I'm going to look for. So then what happens is you get the ticket, you're angry about it. You go, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to be angry. So then you back yourself out of the conversation about the ticket. So start with where you are. Okay, I have a ticket. I'm really not happy about having this ticket. I don't want to have this ticket. But you know what? There's really nothing I can do about it right now. I've got the ticket. I could fight it. Maybe I could fight it and not have to pay it.
Sure.
That's a possibility.
Sure.
Let me look and see. Anything I can do about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through there and you can't, oh, well, there doesn't seem to be anything I can do about that. But you know what? At least I have the funds. Oh, maybe I don't have.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to have to, well, if I don't have the funds, that means it's not something I can deal with right now. I'll just have to look at it later and figure out how I'm going to get the funds. Okay, I'm going to know that somewhere I have the funds, or somewhere this ticket's going to get taken care of easily and effortlessly. So you back yourself out of the anger, and then you're at least feeling a little bit better. You may not be happy, but you're at least feeling. So then the next time a situation like that, not necessarily a ticket, but any situation like that comes up, someone doesn't keep their word when they make an appointment with you, or they're late and they don't call you or whatever, you can do the same kind of a thing. You can back yourself out of that. I have a friend of mine who said something this weekend that was really great. She said she really noticed that the universe adjusts. And I thought that a great phrase, because you know she's working for someone and they're getting things done and they have a really full plate, and sometimes they don't always get to their appointments on time, and sometimes they just, you know, they're not even thinking about it because they've got so many things on their plate, on their mind and whatnot. And so she was noticing that on a particular occasion when this person had an appointment, they weren't there at the appointment, and the person they were going to meet with was a very important person. And so she went out, and she just kind of waited for them, and she just said, okay, the universe will adjust. And mm-hmm. the person came that they were meeting came right on the heels of the person who was late. So everything, because they showed up at the same time, and mm-hmm. no one. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, you know, shook it off and said, oh, good, we got here together, you know, and there was
we
weren't even here either. It was just the universe will adjust if we know that that's what's going to happen, and if we look for that to happen, that's what will show up.
Exactly. That's wonderful. I want to recap some of the things you're saying because I'm taking notes. In terms of when something external happens to us, okay, I heard you say first we need to be aware. We need to be aware of our feelings. Secondly, I heard you say we need to acknowledge our feelings. One of the things people often believe is that to be happy, we need to pretend we're never sad or we're never angry, which is, of course, is not true. So second is to acknowledge the feeling. But I loved what you said after that. You said, but don't live there. Acknowledge how you're feeling, but don't stay there with that feeling, reliving it all day. Third, I heard you say, make a choice. And number four, that choice was to set our intention, to have the feeling that we want to have instead of whatever reaction was the first thing that came along. And then five, I heard you say take action. And one of the things that came to my mind when you said take action, for example, deciding to fight the ticket, go to court, whatever, I think when we decide to take action, we need to look at the cost of taking that action, because sometimes the cost of that action isn't worth the action. So let's say in the case of going to court, we may decide once we examine what is going to be required of us time-wise, et cetera, and what the eventual outcome will be. You know, we're going to end up still having to pay a portion of that ticket or what. Sometimes the action, you know, one action may not be worth it to us if the cost is going to be too great. And not just cost money-wise, but time, energy, self-respect, pride, those things. So am I reading you correctly? Am I hearing you correctly, what you're sharing?
Yeah, that's really a wonderful way of putting it and putting it in order. I have a friend, someone that I've met, T. Harv Eckert, who is, you know, he does the whole Millionaire Mind program.
Yeah,
and one of the things that he always says is time. Time is, and then you go, and people will generally say time is money. But what mm-hmm. he says is time is more valuable than money. Money mm-hmm. you can always get. Time you can never get back. So
that's right.
if you get a ticket and it's $50 or it's $30 and it's a parking ticket, I remember when I changed careers years ago, I went somewhere and I was delivering some tickets to my program that was happening, and mm-hmm. I didn't put enough money in the meter, and I got a mm-hmm. ticket. Mm-hmm. I stood there when I got this ticket, and I looked at what the cost of it was. So had mm-hmm. I put another 25 cents in the meter, I would not have gotten a $30 ticket. Mm-hmm. And I would have actually made money, because the tickets that I somebody were like $15. So I lost money delivering tickets to this person because I got mm-hmm. a ticket. Mm-hmm. I also had to recognize that part, where was the responsibility on this? Because mm-hmm. I should have put more money in the meter. And with the guy from my first example about getting the ticket, he parked in the red. Now, clearly, we don't park in the red. It doesn't say, except on Sunday afternoons when you're at church, it says don't park in the red.
Ever.
You know, so and he parked in the red, got a ticket. And so then he got pissed off, but he got a ticket. He got pissed off that he did something that he shouldn't have done, and somebody noticed it and charged him for it. So a great way of looking at that, and so I like the way you've put them in order, and you can also put your intention by doing that the very first thing. You know, wake up in the morning, laying in bed before you can get out is a matter of today. You order today and have even whatever it is you want to intend for the day. If you have a meeting today and you want to have people be able to easily reach you, or you want them to easily understand the things that you're going to explain to them or express to them, or you want them to easily be able to recognize the benefit that you're bringing to them, whatever it is that you want, set an intention that that will take place. That clarity is going to be foremost in the meeting, or whatever it is you want to do, or like you said, or just be happy. To start off with something simple, today I'm going to be happy. And if something shows that is going to set that off to the side, then you can you have a choice.
Exactly. I'm laughing because I know you remember, and many of the listeners remember, the movie The Secret that became very popular. And in it, the law of attraction was being promoted. And first of all, the law of attraction is just one of many laws, and it's not new. It's been around since the beginning of time. But it came under a lot of scrutiny as a result of that movie, and a lot of skeptics who saw it had a lot of negatives to say. That I've heard people say the law of attraction doesn't work. You just can't sit around and wish or think or recite affirmations and expect things to happen. Why do you think people have problems believing and using this concept of law of attraction when obviously it is a law that is in operation in our universe?
Well, I think people have a difficulty with it because, like you've said earlier today, is that we were taught a particular way of doing things. And being taught a particular way of doing things, there's an authority that passed that on. Sometimes it's our mother or father or somebody of authority who's passed on, this is what you do. You work hard and you get ahead. First off, we all know you don't work hard and get ahead. You know, you work smart and get ahead, or you work creatively, because, you know, the truth is we don't have to do anything. We don't. Mm-hmm. We can create an idea, and then we can pull a team of people together who know how to do these things, and then we have the team of people put the things together. And then they put it together, and then you have your product. And no, you didn't do anything in per se. Of being out there digging the ditch kind of a thing. But I think a lot of times people have ingrained how something is supposed to happen and the way it's supposed to happen, and for it to be as simple as, you know, calling it forth from a way of thinking and bringing it out. Now, it's not just, and I will say a couple of things about The Secret. It was set up as a way of, as an introduction. It was set up for people to go find more information out about this and how it worked, because, like you said, there are many laws that are in operation, and the law of attraction is only the first one. And one of the biggest things, like I was saying about how we spend our focus and put focus back on something, we talk to our friends, we talk to our cousins, we talk to anybody who will listen about how horrible was, then we've added more to it, and we've added more negative energy to something to bring it back to us. So what happens is we also then are trying to use the law of attraction, and you can do that. You can absolutely do that. But what happens is people will try and use the law of attraction, and then they'll spend 2 or 3 days, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks, and possibly even 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years, saying, well, I thought about it, and I asked for it, and I kept thinking about it, but it never happened. And the thing is that they didn't really. They thought about it, they asked about it, and then they went and said, well, where is it? Or they told their friend, or they had a sense about themselves. They had a feeling that it wasn't coming. You know, you have those dissipate the energy that you've put into attracting it, and then you just got through saying, well, where is it? And where is it says, poof. It just shoots all of the coagulated energy to bring something together in form by doubting, because asking where it is a doubt.
Yes.
Asking where it is a doubt.
I think people don't realize that the attraction, the law of attraction always works. So when you say it didn't work, well, that's what you're expecting and that's what you got, so it did work. They don't get the idea that the subconscious is not fooled. So what you really believe at that deep level is what is going to happen, not what you say on a conscious level on the surface. It's what you really believe you're going to attract. And I think that's where the flaw is. And also I think people don't get that you are taking action and moving toward what it is. You're led to move toward what, you know, you want, or the things that will make it come about by having that deep-seated belief. So it's not a magic act, even though it certainly seems magical when we look back at it.
My minister calls it an inspired action. See, what happens is we get an idea and we go, okay, I'm going to make this happen. And then we go out and we go, okay, in order to make this happen, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. And we're trying to make it happen because we see other people doing things and making it happen. And a perfect example might be Donald Trump, that we see Donald Trump going out and making real estate deals and all of that, and he is making things happen. But we don't look at the fact that Donald Trump has had a belief system that he can do these things for years.
Yes, yes.
Already has that.
We don't look at what he went through to get to this point. We just see the surface success. We do not see the 30 years of up, down, failures, and all kinds of things that are behind the scenes of every success.
Exactly. So we end up thinking that we're going to go out and do and do and do and do. And if we just allow ourselves to spend time in setting intentions and spend time in thought about, okay, this is what I want to do, and how could I make this work? Asking the universe, what kinds of things should I do? What kinds of what types of opportunities can, and just be and let yourself have thoughts about it instead of trying to make everything happen. Then
right.
you get, and then you
it.
Get. Exactly. You get a thought about, oh, let me go over here. And this is something that it leads me to another piece of this, is that we have an internal guidance system.
Yes.
We don't always listen to it, but, you know, and I'm sure everybody said, they thought, oh, wow, I should go over there. And then later on you find out somebody was over there that you could have met and you could have seen.
Yes.
You have an internal thought process that will say, oh, turn left here, or change lanes now. And you change lanes because, and then you find out that, oh, all the traffic slowed down over there, or there's an accident or something. Or you know, something says, go back in the house and get something. I'm famous for that in the morning. Go back in the house and get something. Back in the house, and then I go, well, I don't need that. Or I go back in the house and I get it, and I come out, and then I'm traveling, and I realize that if I had left 5 minutes earlier, I would have been right in the middle of an accident or right in the middle of something else going on. So we have internal guidance that tell us. Our own feelings will say, you know, you sit there and you feel, you allow yourself, okay, how do I feel about this?
Yes.
And the job, or whether it's somebody who's standing in front of you, and sometimes you can't get a good read on yourself because other outside stimuli are bumping you. So I have this thing that I tell people to do all the time. Excuse me, I'll go to the ladies' room. I'll be right back. I go to the ladies' room. I shut the door in the stall, nice there, and I go, okay. I relax, I get a sense of what's going on, so it's only me there. And then I can feel that, okay, this feels right, or no, there feels like something's off about it. Doesn't mean I won't do it, it just means I know that something's off about it, so I may need to ask more questions, may need to find out more information.
Or be more vigilant as things are unfolding, you know, paying more attention to things as they unfold. I've discovered I have to do that sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have this whole talk I do about our GPS, you're calling it the internal guidance system, and I call it our God positioning system, because we do have that internal voice, that internal system, and when we listen to it, people who don't believe in perhaps God or spirituality or whatever, they like to call it a hunch, or they'll just say, something told me to do this. And it's at those moments when they're really listening and make good decisions that they're giving credit to this system you're talking about right now. And before I forget, I want to ask you, what are some other laws that are available to us that are similar to the law of attraction?
Well, there's the law of attraction would be the first one that you want to know about and want to practice. After that is the law of deliberate creation. So in other words, you want to, when you understand the law of attraction and when you understand that your thought will bring you what you want and it'll create the world around you, your own world. I'm not saying it will create, you know, world peace immediately, but it will have an effect on your world, and your world creates the world around you, which affects other people, which then affects the world. So, in a sense, it does. And the law of deliberate creation is then to actually channel your thought to that which you want. And one of the things that I look at that as is, if you look at, we live in the essence of everything that exists is what I call, what my minister calls, what my friends call, a field of infinite possibility. Everything possible. Anything is possible. And we've always lived of infinite possibility. In the caveman days, electricity existed. It was a possibility. Electricity to exist. It's just that the cavemen not have the ability or the consciousness or the wherewithal to think that it was a possibility because they were still dealing with trying to get fire. But we live in a possibility, and when everything is lines up for us, and we have a thought about, you know, we get those infinite ideas, those thoughts that go, oh, wow, this would be a great product, or this would be a great thing, or like you said, the new career that this person has developed is counseling these stars who have lost sight of who they truly are and are trying to be from a place of ego, you know, that they need a way of coming home to who they truly are, who they truly want to be. So she's created this career that helps them guide them back to that. She she had an idea of this, and she put it into play. So it's the same kind of a thing. We have a thought about it, and it exists. If we have a thought about it, it exists here somewhere. So then,
oh my
what
goodness.
We
I'm sorry, we're we going to be cut off in a minute. So finish your thought. We have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Right. You then focus your energy towards calling forth what it is that you want and all of the things to line up and keep yourself in that thought of the new idea.
Well, I want to thank you. Looks like I'm going to have to invite you back to come and continue to share. I do want to thank my listeners for tuning in and invite you back, too, listeners, to next Monday, March 1st, 2010. We're going to have an exciting show next week as well. Please be here. And in the meantime, be sure to go over to coloryourlifehappy.com. Thank you, Sonia, so very much for sharing your insight and your knowledge. And please agree to come back in the future. Will you do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much. And I'm going to continue to look for your where your plays are performing, and I hope that the listeners will do that as well. Please visit the show page later. There's an opportunity for you to choose this show as your favorite if indeed you did enjoy the show. And, of course, you can download it after it has appeared under on-demand episodes. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.
Color your life.